Welcome back. This is Shlomo Schwartz. We are learning Masechta Pesachim. We are in Perek Aleph. We're up to Mishnah Hey. The Mishnah is actually a continuation from the previous Mishnah Dalet, where we had mentioned Rabbi Yehuda said, which is our practice and the way we paskin lahalacha, that Erev Pesach, the first 4 hours, we're allowed to eat chametz, and then after the 4 hours, beginning with the fifth hour, we do not eat chametz anymore. But you're allowed to have hanah from the chametz for another hour, and at the beginning of the sixth hour is when you need to burn the chametz. So there are three levels. There's the eating, then there's another hour where you don't eat, but you can have hanah from the chametz, you can benefit from the chametz, and then there's the third period in which you have to, during that sixth hour, before the end of the sixth hour, while you still technically own the chametz and have rights to the chametz, you need to get rid of the chametz and burn the chametz. Rabbi Yehuda continues that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to have a sign to notify everybody what the Zman was and when they were allowed to do which part that we just outlined, the eating, the Hanah, and then the burning. Says the Mishnah, Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda also said, Shtei Chalos Shel Toda Psulos, there were two loaves of bread relating to the Karban Toda that were pasul. The loaves of bread that were pasul, munachos al gag ha'itztava, were put on the roof of the itztava, the pillars in the Har HaBayis, as a sign and a place where people would notice as to what, how to deal with the chametz. Now, just as a little background, the Karban Toda, the Gemara explains, had 40 loaves of bread that were brought with it. 30 of them were brought loaves of matzah, and 10 were chametz. Now, because you only had a day and a night, 24-hour period in which to eat it, and Erev Pesach you can technically only eat for the first 6 hours, in the Torah, you're not allowed to bring the Karban Toda on the 14th of Nisan, because you would not be giving yourself an adequate amount of time to eat the loaves of bread, and thereby hastening the, or increasing the probability that some of these loaves would become nosar, or not eaten, and as a result you'd have to get rid of it. And we always try to prevent anything in Hegdish to be disposed of or to be brought to a situation where it might become pasul or have to be disposed of. So therefore, they did not bring the Karban Toda on the 14th, they brought it on the 13th. However, even bringing it on the 13th, being that there were so many loaves of bread, it did happen that some of the loaves of bread were not eaten Erev Pesach, and therefore they were considered nosar. After the 13th day and night, come the 14th of Pesach, it's nosar. And so they used some of this leftover bread as a sign. They wouldn't use regular Hegdish for this purpose, but this leftover bread that was pasul anyway, they used as a sign to post up on the Itztava for everyone to see. Kol zman shemunachos, as long as the two loaves of bread were there, were present, kol ha'om ochlim, then everyone knew that they were allowed to eat from their chametz. Nitla achas, once they took one of those loaves away, and there was only one loaf left, then they knew that you could not eat anymore. Tolin, it was sort of in limbo, where you were not allowed to eat from the bread, or you're not allowed to eat from the chametz, and you were still allowed to have hanah, but you did not yet have to make the beer chametz. You still had some time. Tolin meaning lo ochlin, you couldn't eat the chametz anymore. Velo sofrin, but you were not yet obligated to do the beer chametz. You still had an hour in which you could benefit from the chametz. Nitlu shtehen, once both of these were taken, both of these loaves were taken off from the roofs of the Itztava, then hitchilu kol ha'om sorfim. Then they knew that not only were you not allowed to have, were you not allowed to eat from this chametz, so the achila went away with the first loaf of bread disappearing, and the hanah went away with the second loaf of bread disappearing. They knew now was the time to burn the chametz, and that you had a limited amount of time. It had to be done within that sixth hour. So therefore, nitlu shteyan, when both loaves were taken away, that was a sign that hitchilu kol ha'om sarfim, that the entire nation, Klal Yisrael, would realize that it was time to burn the chametz. Rabbi Gamliel, Omer Rabbi Gamliel, disagrees somewhat on the Tanakh, and he says, chulin, That which we said, that you can eat chametz only for the first 4 hours, that applies to chulin. Chulin, regular chametz, which is not, doesn't have any hegdish, doesn't have any special sanctity. Necholin kol arba, that is eaten only for 4 hours, and the fifth hour you are not allowed to eat it anymore. However, truma, which has a certain amount of kedusha, kol chamesh, that you have the extra hour during that fifth hour where you can actually eat truma. Not regular chulin, not regular chametz, but only truma. Why? So the Bar Tanu explains, because we are not supposed to, as I mentioned earlier, do anything to hasten the disposal or the tumah of hegdish, taking away unnecessarily the sanctity of hegdish, and therefore since truma has a certain amount of kedusha, as long as there's still a little bit more time that we can eat it, we were not machmir to get rid of it, because it's more serious an issue to dispose of truma before its time. He says it's lahafsid kachim biyadayim, to get rid of kachim intentionally with your hands through your actions. So therefore, he holds that there's an extra hour after the 4 hours to eat truma. Chulin you would only allow to have hanoah from, but truma you would be allowed to eat. And then v'sorfin b'tchila sheish, and then you would have to burn both the chulin that you only had 4 hours to eat, and the truma that you had 5 hours to eat. Both of those things would be burnt at the beginning of the sixth hour. So the difference between Rabbi Gamliel and the Tana and Rabbi Yehuda, the first Tana of our Mishnah, appears to be just in the case of truma, where Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's no different than chulin and you only have 4 hours to eat it, whereas Rabbi Gamliel holds that you have an extra hour in the case of truma. The Bar Tanura tells us that we do not paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That is the end of Mishnah Hay. Now we move on to Mishnah Vav. Now it's important to know that Mishnah Vav is actually brought into the Masechta in connection with the following Mishnah, Mishnah Zayin, which we will get to in Mirza Hashem tomorrow, which is relevant to Psochim. Mishnah Vav is not directly relevant to Psochim, however, it introduces us to a concept of Tumah, which we have to be familiar with in order to understand Mishnah Zayin that we're going to learn tomorrow. Just as a introduction and a matter of background to introduce you to some of the important principles that you need to understand in connection with Tumah, there is different levels of Tumah. There is, for example, a concept of Avi Avosa Tumah, which is the strongest level of Tumah. A dead body, a mace itself, is considered an Avi Avosa Tumah. And anything that comes into contact with a mace, whether it's another human being, or whether it's kalim, clothing, dishes, and so on and so forth, would be considered tamei mace, and they would be considered an av hatumah. They came in direct contact with a mace. The next level is an av hatumah. There are other avas hatumah besides people who come into contact with a mace. For example, a sheretz or a nevela, a dead animal or a dead insect, or a zava mitzora. There are other examples of av hatumas. Now, the av hatuma has the power to transfer the tuma, but each time the tuma is transferred, it becomes weakened. So if an av hatuma happens to come into contact with an av hatuma, then that thing or object becomes a Rishon Latuma. After the Rishon Latuma, if it comes into contact, the first level of Tuma, after the Avatuma, it comes into contact with only food and drink. It cannot be Matame Kalim anymore, and it cannot be Matame a person. But if it comes into contact with food or drink, it is Matame the food or drink, and that food or drink becomes a Sheni Latuma, which is a weaker level of Tuma. Now, the ability to transfer from a sheni beyond can continue if we're talking about objects or foods that have kedusha, because kedusha is more sensitive. Items of kedusha, of holiness, are more sensitive. So therefore, the sheni lituma, the second level of tuma, can transfer tuma to something that is truma. Truma has a certain amount of kedusha, and therefore a sheni can make something of truma a shlishi latuma. And a shlishi has the ability to go on and even metame something else as a revi, a fourth level, fourth extension, if that the item we're talking about is hegdish. So again, you can go as far as a fourth transfer, but that's only by hegdish, a third transfer by truma, and otherwise you can go to a sheni l'tuma. And the relevant portion that we need to understand here is that the main tuma, or the more severe tuma, is the avatuma, which we call a tuma chamura, a more severe tuma, and the lighter tumas, like the sheni l'tuma and so on, are called vlat ha-tumas. They're children or descendants of tuma. They're an extension, but somewhat removed. Now, the issue here is that one is not allowed to destroy truma, because the pasuk says b'midbar es mishmeres trumasi, that there's a responsibility to guard the trumos from becoming tame. So you would not be allowed to take truma that is tahar, that is pure, and be metame it and make it tame. That is going against the Torah's commandment of mishmeres trumasi. However, the issue at hand here in the Mishnah is, what if you have a lower level of tuma that you're exposing to a higher level of tuma? So for example, if you brought a shlishi l'tuma in contact with a rishon l'tuma, and therefore the rishon now made the shlishi into a sheni, would that be okay? Or that is also considered going against mishmeres trumasi by making a lighter tuma a more serious tuma, by coming into contact with a more serious tuma, are you being over on the intent of the Torah when it says mishmeres trumasi? So says the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kahana Maimer, Rabbi Chanina, who was the assistant to the Kohen Gadol, who was actually a substitute, so that on Yom Kippur, if something happened with the Kohen Gadol and he became Pasul, the Skan would fill in for him. So Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim said, Mimeyam Shal Kohanim, in the days of the Kohanim, I have never noticed or seen, Lo Nimnu, they did not withhold, they did not hold back, Milisrof Es Habasar Shenitma, from burning the meat, the hegdish, meat of hegdish, and nitma, that became tame bivlata tuma, that became tame with a vlata tuma, which means that it became a shlishi, im habasar, to burn it together with meat, shenitma, that became tame avatuma, which means it became a rishin. Even though, says Reb Chanina Skanakan, afa pi, even though, shemosifin tuma al tumaso, by taking a shlishi l'tuma, a third level of tuma, and bringing it into contact by burning it with a first level of tuma, you are actually accelerating the third level of tuma and turning it into a second level of tuma and making it more serious in terms of tuma. Nevertheless, says Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim, because they were burning the truma anyway, and they were both tame, so since it's being burnt anyway, it's not really relevant that one is a more serious level of tuma and one is a less serious level of tuma. Since they're going to be burnt, it's as if they were burnt, and therefore there is no difference, and there's nothing wrong with having them come into contact with each other, even though it's going to make the shlishi l'tuma become a sheni l'tuma. That is what Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim says. Adds Rabbi Akiva, Hosef Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva added, V'amar, he said, not only that, but I'll tell you even more, a step more. Mimeim shel kohanim, in all the days of the kohanim, lo nimnu, they did not hold back milahadlik, from burning es hashemen, oil, shenifsal b'tful yom, that became possible by coming into contact with a tful yom. And the Gemara tells us that a tful yom is somebody who was tovel, he purified himself in a mikvah from his tuma, but during the day, and he has to wait until harif shemesh, until the nighttime. So until that period, after he was tovel, but did not become nighttime yet, he is considered a tful yom, which is a sheni l'tuma. He has the status of a sheni l'tuma. Nevertheless, we did not hold back from burning oil that became posel from coming into contact with the tful yom, which effectively would make this oil a shlishi. If it becomes tame by coming into contact with the sheni, it becomes a shlishi. And they would burn this oil, b'ner, together with a Ner shenitma b'tamei meis, that became tamei by coming into contact with the tamei meis, which would make it a rishon l'tuma. So, says Rabbi Akiva, here we're talking about. Sorry, take that back. By coming into contact with a mace, it becomes an avatuma. So therefore, what we've done is we've taken a shlishi l'tuma and turned it into a rishon l'tuma by coming into contact with an avatuma. And so what we're doing effectively is a step ahead. Instead of going from a shlishi to a sheni, which is bringing it up one notch in tuma, we're actually, in this case, by bringing a tful yom, something that came into contact with tful yom, which is a shlishi, into contact with something which came into contact with a mace, which is an av, we are accelerating it two notches from a shlishi to a rishon, and still, Rabbi Akiva says, they did not prevent themselves from burning the two together, even though you had accelerated the tumah, but because it was going to be burnt anyway, there was no issue. Afa bishamosif and tumah al tumaso, even though you're adding tumah on the existing tumah, and you're adding two notches going from a shlishi to a rishon. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva says that, consistent with Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim, but he adds an extra step, they did not hold back from burning the truma together because there was no issue of protecting the truma from becoming more tame once it was already tame and had to be burnt anyway. This ends Mishnah Vav. Tomorrow we will continue Mishnah Zayin and see how it connects into the Inyan of Tumah as it relates to Korban Pesach.